right, we will be in Daniel chapter 6. If you want to start turning there, we'll be in Daniel chapter 6 this morning. Again, just want to say again, thank you. We've had a great weekend being able to get, again, these 15,000 done. Pastor Kaiser emailed me weeks ago asking to do Spanish because otherwise we would have been doing, we have different projects going on at different times. What, if a church has a specific one for, what's the missionary's name? Who is it going to? Jim Wyatt?
Watt.
Okay, Jim Watt. So, if a church has a ministry, we would want to make that work as much as possible. And some of the other projects we have going on is Portuguese, and we're doing a container going to go to Brazil in the next month or two, or that's what they're hoping. And then there's another big project that we're working on with a ministry in Canada. It's called BPS Canada. There's a lot of different Bearing Precious Seeds. That name is not trademarked. It's not like we have locations all over. Those are just different ministries. If you see a Bearing Precious Seed, it is all based on which church or which location it's at. But there's a ministry in Canada. Their goal is to get a John Roman in every single home in Canada by doing like every door mailing. And so we have been partnering with them with getting the scripture into each home in Canada. And so they are close to finishing most of the English provinces, and now they're starting to move on to the French-speaking provinces. And so that's another project that some of our men have been doing is they'll do, it's a book that you flip. So you'll, if you have it, the easiest way is if you have it, this side would be French, and then you just flip it over, this would be English. So it's like, it's not a side-by-side book that is French and English. You just flip the book for one language versus the other. And so that's something that we're starting to work on. So those are some of our projects that we're working on. But again, it's been a great one. And again, we'll take these back, and then tomorrow morning a pastor's coming down. We're going to put this skid and another skid on his trailer. Like he said, he's going to take it to Georgia, and eventually, I don't know, from Georgia, how they're getting to Mexico, truck, someone, not me, is going to drive it to Mexico and again give it to Brother Watt, I believe. So it's exciting to see where God's word's going to go and what it's going to do. So again, don't be, hopefully you'll be able to have more updates from Direct Line. But again, even though the project that we have is done, and yes, we still have to load the trailer, just a few things, it's not going to take long. We're just going to have four men pick up the trimmer. It's only 1,000 pounds. I'm just kidding. We have a ramp. But even though this is the project done, these scriptures are just starting their journey. So please, as we pray after the service, let's not forget about these. And again, your Ukrainian that you did last year has been, making an impact over there. Because that's what I believe we did last year was Ukrainian. So there's a lot of times we have to be keeping and thinking about the projects that we've done and, what's going on. So let's not forget about these after we leave here today. But again, excited to be here. And so, Pastor, when you were working on aircrafts and all that, did you see people, you had a lot of power tools, I'm sure, right? Did you see people operating power tools incorrectly? Isn't it a tool in the wrong person's hand can be very dangerous, or a tool being used the wrong way can be dangerous, right? We have, YouTube can be a great place, and it could also be a dangerous place. But YouTube, if you don't know what you're doing, you can just YouTube it, and it will tell you what to do. And there's times where you're like, hey, what do I do? And that's, we have technology today that if we don't know what we are doing, we can YouTube it and look and try to copy what someone else is doing. And sometimes that's a great thing. But you know what also we see on YouTube? Or there's different social media that they have those short clips of people that you're like, what are they doing? It gives us a lot of fails of what other people have done. The other day I saw this video, it was a short video of this guy, he had a chainsaw, he was using it and he was trying to start it. Well, he was, I guess, trying to make sure he had a good grip on so he could pull the cord to start it. He put the chainsaw between his legs and he was trying to start it. It's like, that is not the proper way. It never showed if he actually started the chainsaw or not, because someone was like, I hope this video is fake. And I'm like, yes, there's times that if you have even a right tool, if it's used the wrong way, can be very dangerous.
Yeah.
And I would like to say is the Bible is a tool. And it is designed to help our spiritual walk. But you know what? The Bible can be a tool. If it's used the wrong way, it can be very dangerous.
Right.
And you're thinking, what are you talking about? Well, do we have biblical evidence or applications where there is a group of people who use God's word to belittle people, to use it to have control over people, to use it the wrong way? I'd say that we do.
Yeah.
And we have to be careful. You know, we can't say, oh, I would never do that. I think we as Christians, we need to never say, I would never commit that sin, or I would never do that, because one, you are capable of committing any sin. Let me say that again. You are capable of committing any sin. I am capable of committing any sin. We have to be careful, because if we start saying, I would never do that, in a form, that's a form of pride. We have to hope that we say, you know, by God's grace and by following His word, I pray that God will, you know, will keep me from this. Because you know what? We look at the lost sometimes and we go, I would never do that. They are lost. They are in spiritual darkness. They are blind and they don't know what they're doing. All these things that they're dealing with, they are looking to fill their life with some void that they think is going to complete them. And we know the truth and they don't. What does the world say? They say, this is my truth. Right. That's something very common today. This is my truth. And we have to be careful as they're spiritually lost, and we can't expect them to do anything different. Right. Even though what it is, it is insane. Right. It's crazy. But that's what they're doing. They're doing what's their truth. They don't know the truth. Right. And we have to be careful that if we're using the Bible the wrong way, if we're using a proper tool of what it can be and we use it the wrong way, we can hurt people and drive them even further away from God, or we can hurt them in their spiritual walk. And we can hurt other people if we're not careful about that. And this morning we're going to a very familiar passage. You know, this is Daniel in the lion's den, but we are not getting to the lion's den. There, as I was reading this, we're going to stop kind of early and we're going to look at something as I was seeing, or just a thought that I had, and try to look at that and how it can apply to us. But there's been many different ways the Bible has been described as a tool. It's, you know, in Psalm 119 and Proverbs 6, there's different times the Word of God is described as a lamp. Hebrews 4:12, it's described as a sword. It's quick and it's powerful. We can go through and we can see that the Bible has been a tool. And again, like any tool, if it's used the wrong way, it can be dangerous when it's not used the proper way and when it's not used for its intended purpose. Again, this morning, we're going to see a group of men who took God's word and they're using it as a tool to try to benefit themselves. And if you're like, I'm not really sure where we see that, we'll kind of go through that. We're going to read a few verses. We're going to maybe make some observations, maybe some bonus points that's not necessarily part of the message. And then we're going to jump into some things. If we're not careful, we can be dangerous about when it comes to God's word. And we need to be careful, because if we say God's word is powerful, which it is, right, if it can change lives, which it can, it can change a life for the better, or if we're using it the wrong way, it can change a life for the worse if we're not careful. Wow. And we need to be careful as Christians that we're putting forth God's word properly, so that we're using it in a loving way to help people instead of driving people away from God. Because guess what? The Pharisees, I'd say they were pushing people away from God whenever they're using God's word the wrong way. And so if we come here to Daniel chapter 6, maybe you'll be able to identify it whenever we read it. Maybe it's something you haven't seen before. It's maybe the first time I saw that. But we're going to read a few verses, and we'll pray, and then we'll jump into the message this morning. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 says, "And it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him." Isn't that kind of like politics? They're trying to find something in his life that they could just say, hey, we can point to this, and there's nothing they could point to in Daniel's life that could make him be removed from this position. Verse 5, "Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and the princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever." The next few verses is the presidents trying to make a plan with the king and trying how they can trip up Daniel. And like it says in verse 5, concerning the law of his God. Verse 10, it says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed," this thing that said you can only serve the king for like 30 days, however long it was. And verse 10, we come back and Daniel says, "Now when he knew that the writing was signed, He went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Let's pray, then we'll jump into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for all you've done for us. Thank you for allowing us to be able to gather here this morning. Lord, thank you that we have your word. Lord, please help us not take it for granted. I know that I can do that sometimes if I'm not careful. We have so much easy access to your word, but Lord, help us to be very thankful that we actually have it. And Lord, help us to use it in our lives, that we would allow it to change our lives, and use your word this morning to change our lives. Lord, please fill me with the Holy Spirit, that I would only say what you want me to say, and that we would be changed by your word this morning, and we would see these truths, and we would apply them to our lives so we can use your word the proper way and for its intended purpose. Lord, thank you again that we are here this morning. Please work, allow us to see you greater because of what is said here today, and to lift you up. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We see here this familiar story that we have, but we can go through in Daniel, and in verses 1 through 4, there's a problem that these men have. We're focusing on the presidents that are here in Daniel chapter 6. We're not necessarily focusing on Daniel, but we see the problem that these men had. It was a power problem. You see, the king, he says, hey, I don't want to be responsible for an entire kingdom, so he's trying to set up, I'm going to have these men over these other men, and just trying to make sure that, hey, I'm going to delegate some authority so that people can take care of everything, and they can take care of the day-to-day duties of running the kingdom, so I don't have to do everything myself. And so he set up three presidents, and he was going to make Daniel the chief president. But the other two and the other princes, why were they mad? They were mad that they were not the president themselves. If we ever, whenever we come to these positions, even in workplaces, it all is because somebody is not in charge. Everybody wants that power, that position. And these men, they wanted that top position. And because it was not them, that was their problem. So they're like, we have this problem. But they came up with a plan. And in verses 5 through 9, their plan was, hey, we're going to, we see that, again, they were trying to find some error in Daniel's life. They could not find something morally wrong in Daniel's life. He didn't have some vice that he was prone to have, some besetting sin, that they would call that. But they could not find anything morally wrong with him. He was faithful. And they also found that he was faithful in his religion. To them, his religion, he had his relationship with God, because he, we don't know if they had a problem with him because he was Jewish or just because he had more power than them, but whatever it was, their problem with him, they were trying to figure out, what can we do to trip him up? And because they found nothing wrong with him morally, they had to figure out, we had to trip him up because of his religion. And so they came up with a plan. They said, we're going to only make it to where you can worship the king for 30 days. And that was the plan they came up with. And anybody else was going to be thrown into a lion's den. And then we see here, they knew that he was going to pray three times a day. We can even see here in verse 11, after they signed the decree, it's like as soon as the king signed it, they're like, okay, we got to get to Daniel's house because you know what? He's going to pray at this time. They knew that he was they knew his schedule, even though that they may have not been close. They knew his routine so much, they knew what time to show up to his house that he was going to be praying. Is there something that the world knows us that we do so much every day that they could show up and be like, okay, that's right exactly where they were? What do we do every day that someone could point out and says, that's what they do? Do your neighbors know that you go to church every Sunday? Do they know that you are a Christian? If they're like, hey, I know where they're probably at between 9:30 or 10:30 and, noon or 1 o'clock. It's something that you do so repetitiously that people are just like, yep, that's where they are. That's where these presidents, they immediately ran to his house after they signed the decree so they could find Daniel immediately, because they knew that Daniel was going to be faithful to his God. But you know what? We see here that was his prayer, that Daniel, no matter what was going on, no matter what they signed, he was going to obey God and he was going to have prayer. But I want to ask you, why did they say that he was faithful to his religion, to the law of his God? You know what? Because they saw how he lived his life, they said he's faithful to that. But you know what? Did they know what the law of his God was immediately? I'd say, if someone were to ask me, What does someone who is in Islam or who is a Muslim, what are their religious beliefs? I don't know if I could tell you. I might be able to give you some things that they do, but I don't know their religion exactly. I have never read the book of Quran. I don't know what, and I can go through and point, well, they can't do this, this, or this, and we have to trip them up doing with something like this. I don't know that. And did these men know exactly what the law of his God was? I wouldn't say they knew it outright. They had to go and they had to take God's word and read it for themselves and find that, hey, I shall have no other gods before me. Let's make the king a god. They had to take God's word, read it, and they had to know it, and they had to take it and try to use it against Daniel himself. So you know what they were doing? They were using the word of God to try to use it against for their benefit to try to trip up Daniel. And that's what I'm talking about here is we have to be careful because the word of God can be used as a tool in the wrong way. Because they wanted to get them power. They wanted to get them a position, and they were using the word of God. And what did the Pharisees do? They did the exact same thing. They used it as power over the people. They used it to get positions, and we're going to see that. And we have to be careful. If we're not careful, if we can do the exact same thing ourselves. And we need to be careful. There are simple mistakes that we can make. These are not the only mistakes, but there are simple mistakes that we can make. We're going to talk about three this morning in the time that we have, but three simple mistakes that we can make when it comes to God's word. If we're not careful, we can be like, you know what? I know God's word. This is what it says. I'm going to use it for my advantage physically, not spiritually. We're not going to use it to benefit ourselves spiritually and drawing closer to God. We would try to use it to benefit ourselves in this world to get ourselves a position or a power that we may not have presently. So these three simple mistakes is what we can do. It's one, we can the word of God can be all in our head instead of our heart. Because really, God's word should be in our heart, not just our head. But sometimes if we're not careful with the mistake that we can have all the head knowledge we have of God's word, but we don't have a heart knowledge. You see, that can be a problem for the unsaved people as well who live a church lifestyle. Just because we know God's word does not mean that we live God's word. Yeah. The presidents, they did not care about the law of Daniel. They did not care about the law of his God. All that they did is they knew what it said. They had a head knowledge so it could benefit them in trying to get this position from Daniel. And we have to be careful that we don't just have a head knowledge of God's word. It's not just information that we're supposed to memorize. It's not for the youth group. It's not just for trivia night once a month with the youth rallies. Right. It's something that we're supposed to memorize in our hearts to apply to our lives. Right. But you know what? The lost can do that too. They can just have a head knowledge of God does not save us. A head knowledge of what the Bible says does not save us. And this morning, I'm not trying to make anybody doubt their salvation, but I'm just trying to say, just because we know what God's word says does not mean that we are saved. James 2:19 says, "Thou believe there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." Even the devils know God and know his word, but that does not mean that it is benefiting them like it can benefit us. Matthew 7:23, it says, "And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Just because we go to church, just because we have a Bible, just because we can read God's word and we have all the head knowledge does not make us saved. What makes us saved? It's that faith in Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross. We have to have that heart knowledge and realize that we're a sinner. Just having a head knowledge doesn't do anything. We have to realize we have to have a heart knowledge. It needs to be in our heart. Because you know, if God's word is only in our head and be like, you know what, you can't do that because God's word says this, and you start telling people, can't do that, can't do this, let's just listen to me, I'm going to have this position over you. We can start really hurting people if we're just trying to tell them what they can or can't do and make them look to us. And we have to be careful. We can't just have God's word in our head. It needs to be in our heart. Proverbs 7:3 says, "Bind them upon thy fingers and write them upon the table of thine heart." We have to be careful because you know what? Knowledge puffs up. If we just have all this knowledge, we think, oh, I'm so smart. I know God's word better than anyone else in the church. That can puff us up and give us pride. Application of the knowledge is what will help us grow in our life. And we have to realize that's not the right view of God's word. It should not be in our head so that we can have all this knowledge that gets us position or power. It needs to be in our heart because why? We are wicked people and we need God's word to change our lives. One first the problem can be that it's just in our head, it's not in our heart, because that's first mistake that we can make. The second mistake is we look at God's word as it should be profitable instead of personal. And really, God's word needs to be personal in our lives. Again, the Pharisees, they were looking for power over people. If you go to Matthew chapter 23, you can see how this is, how Jesus pointed out what the Pharisees did. If we again in Matthew chapter 3, this is the chapter where it just goes through, and it's the woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, and goes through and talks about all the ways that the Pharisees were just beating the people up and trying to have this power over them. If you look in verse 2, it says, saying the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. It gives them this position. Verse 4, they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. It's for other people, it's not for me. I'm making someone else do this, but you know what? I said it, so they have to listen to me. It's giving them that position, that power over people, and they're laying burdens on other people. Verse 5, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. It's for position. It's something, it's profitable to them, and it was not personal. They make broad their phylacteries. They want people to say, oh, look at how spiritual they are because of what they do. And everything was just to be seen of men. Verse 6, and they love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues. These positions of power and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. They wanted that position. They wanted that prestige of like, hey, I am a spiritual giant. I'm like a spiritual elite. And they were using God's word to hurt the people. They added to scripture what was not there to have control over people. Have we ever had a time where people have added to God's word to have power over people? We've done that. I'd say that we do that happened in America quite a bit. And we have to be careful that we are not ourselves adding to God's word. So if someone comes and says, hey, I'm really confused about this, maybe this area of my life, someone has a Bible question, we're like, you know what? I'm going to tell you what God's word says and try to lead you, but you start adding to scripture, you start changing, you can start having a Pharisaical tone towards it. If we're not careful, we can see it as some position or power over somebody trying to help them instead of trying to help them the right way. And we have to be careful that we do not use God's word to gain some position, some power. It needs to be personal. Not only, yes, some people may come to us and ask for help, but we need to make sure that we have God's word applied properly to our lives so that we can then help them. You know, you shouldn't be using God's word so that you can get, hey, you know what, I can try to get this position in the church because either I know so much of God's word or I'm using it. That's not properly using it the right way. We have to be careful how we use God's word. It is a tool in our lives, but we have to be careful not using it the wrong way. God's word is personal. It's not profitable. If we start thinking of those terms, we're getting very dangerous in how we're looking at God's word. Number 3, we look at God's word outwardly instead of focusing it inwardly. God's word should drive our focus inwardly and not outwardly. The Bible is to be a mirror that shows us who God is and reflects to us the areas that we need to work on and clean up in our lives. You know, that's what God's word, it talks about that. It says, hey, you know, there's verses where it says it's a mirror. You're supposed to go and you see what do you do with a mirror? You go to a mirror so you can look in and see what's wrong with you so you can fix it. And after you look at your facial features, you're like, I can't fix that, but I can fix my hair. I can fix the food in my teeth. You can fix only so much sometimes. Or that's what I think. There's only so much you can fix, but it shows you the errors. You don't just walk out of the house without looking in the mirror, because why? You could have food in your teeth. You could have your hair. You could have that one hair that's just crazy. And you look in a mirror so you can try to fix what needs to be fixed. And that's what God's word is. We're supposed to look at it spiritually so we can see what's wrong with my life, and so that we can look at it and it can drive our focus inward and change our lives so that we can be following God correctly. But you know, if we're not careful, we can be like the Pharisee in Luke chapter 18. This passage, it says, verses 10 through 13, it says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. He's sitting there praying, and he's looking around and says, hey, I'm glad that I'm not this guy. He says, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. See, the publican there, he was focused inward, saying, God, help me. God, help me. The publican, the Pharisee's like looking outwardly, saying, I'm glad I'm not that guy. I'm better than him. I'm better than that guy. And we have to be careful in church that we're not looking around going, hey, I'm better than that person today. I have my life better together than that person. Look at how great I am. And we should be focusing on saying, God, be merciful to me. God, help me that I am a sinner. On Sundays, if Pastor Kaiser is preaching and you're busy going saying, hey, I hope that person's paying attention. This is great for them. I hope that my wife is paying attention. She really needs, like Sunday school, my wife needs to be paying attention so that she can be a better wife. No, we have to realize God's word should drive us, our focus inward, and it should not be outward. We don't need to be looking around going, they need this. They need this. It's I need this. Right. It needs to. If we're going around going up to people, hey, did you pay attention? I'm better than you, but you needed this. You start coming off, and you can start hurting people. You can start driving people away from church if all they think is, hey, that guy thinks he's better than me because of what he knows, how long he's been saved, and we have to be careful. We need God's word to daily renew our minds, like Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about. Again, it's a mirror that shows us areas to work on, like James 1, chapter 1, verses 22 through 24 talks about. You know, it says, James 1, 22 through 24, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. We have to be careful. God's word is something for us to live out, not just to know. Right. We're not just hearers. We don't come to church just to listen. I hope that's not why you come. I hope you don't come to do a check mark to say, hey, I went to church. I listened. I can repeat a verse every now and then. I can tell you what the Ten Commandments are. I can give you all this head knowledge that shows how much I know about God's word. But if we're not applying it personally, if we're not allowing us to be it to be in our heart, if we're not allowing it to be driving our focus inward, and we're all outward, we're all, how can this make me, how can this profit me, how can this head knowledge advance me, we are going to be hurting people. We're going to be hurting people in the church. We're going to be hurting people in the community, because they're going to start saying, why would I want to go and be around those people who think they're better than everyone else? Why are they using God's word to hurt me when really God's word is there to help them? If we're saying God's word, yes, it's going to tell them that they do things wrong, but we're going to be doing it in a loving way that we're not lording it over them like the Pharisees were. We have to be careful. This morning, I hope that you would see that in Daniel chapter 6. I know it's just a view, kind of looking at just briefly, I'd say the princes and the presidents were trying to use God's word to benefit themselves. And we have to be careful that we're not like that. We looked at this passage, and these individuals were trying to use God's word incorrectly. Is there one of these three points, these simple mistakes that we can make? Because if not, I believe we've all maybe committed them at one point or another. If we're not careful, we can commit these mistakes about how it's always in our head and we're not actually living it out. We don't allow it to be personal. It almost becomes profitable. It lets us win some award that we can win some cash prize. Like, hey, look, I just use it so I could win this gift card. That's not the right way to look at God's word. I memorized 100 verses so I could get this recognition. That's not why we memorize 100 verses. Right. It's not something that should drive our focus outward. It should drive our focus inward. All of these things if we're not careful, we can make these mistakes. God's word is not a tool to try to gain some advantage in our life. It's not something that we try to advance ourselves in a certain way. It's a way that it brings us like that publican. It says, God, be merciful to me. We use God's word to help us personally. It gets in our heart. We use it to drive our focus inward because you know what? We all have things that we can work on. Yeah. And we have to be careful that we're not using it the wrong way because, again, God, a tool used the wrong way can be very dangerous. God's word has been given to us to change our lives to be more like Christ. And this morning, are you using it to become more like Christ? Or are you realizing that maybe I'm using it the wrong way? Maybe I'm just using it to advance myself, to win an award, to win some prestige of other people in my eyes. Are we using it the correct way? Because Pastor Kaiser, did you see any bad accidents of people using power tools the wrong way?
Sure.
Yes. It is very dangerous that if it's used the wrong way, the harm that it can. And you know what? I think if we're honest, there's times that churches, when they use God's word the wrong way, it can create some very serious harm to people that they're trying to reach. If we're not careful, we can say, hey, God's word is great. We're sending it to Mexico to work and change in people's lives. But if we don't let it to change our lives today in our own lives, we're not going to be able to really affect the people around us. And if anything, we're going to hurt them and push them further away than using it the right way. Every head bowed, every eye closed, as Pastor Kaiser comes.